97 FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings. Glad to have you along on this Wednesday morning. Sean Dalton, Dr. Bill, Kelly, Kane, the whole gang, and buddy Jeff Poor joins us as well. We'll talk with him in just a second. Update something I put on the Twitter feed this morning. Twitter that's having its issues, or TweetDeck having its issues, but we got through there, and then you grabbed it and put it on our Facebook page, which you haven't been there lately. Check it out. Always good stuff over at facebook.com/FMTalk1065. But I put the we put the link up for the Real Men Wear Pink event going on right now, as myself and a bunch of other dudes in Mobile are working to raise money for breast cancer research. As I mentioned, the 6 o'clock hour strikes close to home. My mama, 20-year survivor of breast cancer, and cancer has taken its toll in our family. And so this is something very, very special to me to be able to give back, do something here. And we're ambassadors for the American Cancer Society and this Real Men Wear Pink. You'll see us out with the pink ties and pink shirts and all that kind of stuff. And we're also raising money for breast cancer research. If you'll go through the link on our Facebook page or on the Twitter feed, it'll take you directly to the page for my fundraising efforts. You'll see my goofy face and smiling at you right there. Anything you can do is really, really appreciated as we're raising money for breast cancer research. I'll tell you right now, the stats in Alabama this year, they said they expect over 4,000 women to be diagnosed with breast cancer. The good news is the big leaps and strides that have been made so far with the research. We're now at in the 90% survival rate, still further to go, but it's come up by 20-something percent over the last decade and a half. Mm-hmm. It's really a testament to the research being done and the new technologies out there and doing our part to raise money for the American Cancer Society. And I know I'm not the only one that's had the breast cancer fight come close to home. And so do what you can. If you'll go through those links, I'll take you through and you can make your donation there, and I sure do appreciate it. And guess what? I'm going to keep reminding you about this all October long.
Yeah, I think it's affected nearly everyone personally. But the American Cancer Society, they do a great job with this kind of thing. They said the Real Men Wear Pink campaign has raised over $6.5 million to this point. Helps provide free rides to treatment, a live 24/7 helpline for answers and support, which of course has to be funded, breakthrough research, and so much more.
All right, y'all do your part and help us out. Go to the Facebook page, click that link, and donate. All right, y'all know this guy. It's our buddy Jeff Poor from Lanyap, Breitbart News, Yellowhammer News, and of course the Jeff Poor Show on WVNN in Huntsville. And he joins us now with there's nothing to talk about, really, is there, Jeff?
Good morning, Sean. How you doing?
Doing good, man. I want to start off. I had a head-scratching moment like I did yesterday. I asked Congressman Byrne about this, and I've heard some other people ask this question, and then Top of the Hour News just kind of repeated this. They were focused on the fact that Pompeo was on the phone call, listening to the phone call between President Trump and the Ukrainian president. Why does it? I'm not asking this rhetorically. Why does that matter? Educate me. I don't get that. Why wouldn't he be?
Well, yeah, but the I believe he said "Good morning, America." Some media appearance he had made that he had no knowledge of it, that he or wasn't on the call,
okay,
or made some kind of comment to suggest that he had no idea it was.
That's
going
what
on
I was right missing. Away. Okay, because I guess in all the listening, I had missed that because they keep going. Well, Pompeo was on the call. I'm like, okay, you know. So they're getting him in a trap here where he pulled a Biden, where Biden said he didn't talk to his son, and then his son said he did talk about the Ukrainian deal.
Yeah, and I think it's a fill lie to a prestigious outlet like Good Morning America, and why can't we trust this guy or something?
Okay, so that's, yeah, and thank you. See, that's what I wanted to know, because I have been trying to figure out why the heck it matters if Pompeo was on the phone call. All right, here we are. Well, I guess, yeah, we're a week into this impeachment, right, from the time Pelosi announced to now.
Yeah, and I think this is going to consume the news for the time being. I just don't know how much gas there is left in the tank, guys, though, for this, because after Mueller and all of that, I do think there's fatigue. I certainly thought there was fatigue with the Mueller report, and when nothing really came, it was more just like a pop instead of a boom, that the Democrats would try something, but this just seems to be a little too. It's like all these new episodes of Star Wars, where every time they blow up a Death Star, right? You know, like we've seen this before. Let's think of something different.
Jeff, the polls keep coming out on whether Americans want to see an impeachment or not. And I know early last week, the no's outweighed the yeses, but some of these new polls are showing that more than 50% of Americans want to see the president impeached. Sean has his own theory on this, that Americans just want to see what it's like because so many haven't seen an impeachment. But do you think that maybe some Republicans are saying, yeah, go ahead and impeach him because that can only help in 2020?
Yeah, I agree with that, but I would say something about these polls that, you know, first of all, they look at the samples are always kind of crazy. Think about where all the population resides in this country. It's in big cities. What are big cities? Traditionally, they are Democrat-leaning. Mm-hmm. I think that's where a lot of the sample comes from. I'm not saying the polls are wrong, but we don't determine particularly presidential politics through national polls. It's a state-by-state thing. It is not a and the second part I would add to that, just look, is it registered voters? Is it likely voters? All these ways you gauge public opinion, it's very important to really read because we could call up anybody, hey, what do you think of impeachment? And the guy may say, yeah, impeach the president, but then is that guy going to go out and vote? Does he really count in our political process? I think there's a lot of that baked into these polls.
Yeah, don't discount my theory, though, my solid political theory that people are just going, hey, y'all, watch this. You know, they may not even have a political reason. I think they just want the chaos of it. I do want to talk about, you talk about the polling on this. I think the polling may be of interest to people in Congress, and that's what I would worry about, that as the president's going to be impeached, it's going to come out of, you know, I don't usually give you a solid guarantee on anything, and I still can't assure you, but I'm pretty darn sure the president gets impeached out of the House. But the Senate is where the issue is, and you have to have a two-thirds majority to vote for removal of the president. Do you wonder if these polls and things like this, Jeff, are really angling towards those people in the Senate to get them on board with the idea that, you know, maybe, I got to do this. The people will support me.
Nah, you're playing with fire if you think you could go down that path and still win your Republican primary. I mean, that's all. If you have any way think that these polls are correct and that you're in a dangerous situation if you don't at least consider the prospect of impeachment, you will be primarying and probably escorted out of your seat, your Senate seat. I just think even for the Lisa Murkowski or a Susan Collins, you still got to win your Republican primary. Most Republicans see this one way. I don't know many. You're really at this point, you're worried about Republican voters. So we haven't had a single primary yet, and that's the key there.
Yeah, that's true, and it'll be one of the gauges here. And of course, both sides will fundraise off this. I know that for sure, right? Both sides will have probably good fundraising move off this impeachment.
Yeah, and immediately, I was talking to Elizabeth Harrington for the Republican National Committee. She said in the first 24 hours, the RNC raised $5 million. And since Pelosi had announced impeachment, and then since that day, they have 50,000 brand new donors that have never donated before.
Yeah, follow the money. That just shows you some sentiment. We're coming right back. More with Jeff Poor, and we'll talk a bit about the president, and we'll bring some state politics into the mix as well and get his take on that. All straight ahead right here on Mobile Mornings on FM Talk 106.5, online, fmtalk1065.com. FM Talk 106.5, Mobile Mornings. Text line 343-0106. 343-0106. Talking with our buddy Jeff Poor. Jeff Poor Show on WVNN in Huntsville. Of course, read his work in Lanyap with the Beltway Beat, Yellowhammer News, Breitbart News. And kind of talking about the process here, too, and timeline? Your best guess? I mean, there's some people saying this is all done by Thanksgiving, meaning that it goes to the Senate. I had Congressman Burns said he thought maybe it'd be a December thing. What's your feeling on this for the timeline of this impeachment proceeding?
Yeah, I think Thanksgiving's probably a little soon. December at the earliest. It may even go longer. It may even go into the Iowa caucuses. This is going to take a while. And I don't know. Will Mitch McConnell be in a hurry to do this? I guess he sets the clock once it leaves the House. And then what happens? And how does that go? So there's a lot of unanswered questions here, but I don't think this is going to be something that is done and settled in a hurry.
I also want to get your take on a couple of state or somewhat state. The first one, not completely a state issue. It was something that happened in California. I said, holy cow, I agreed with Gavin Newsom as he signed a bill to let athletes profit from the use of their likeness in video games or merchandise or things like that. And then the question is, and I saw some of the tweets out there to Nathaniel Ledbetter and others with Alabama's legislature, Republican Party majority. Will Alabama move to this? I mean, if you're talking about college sports, you're talking about the top names in college sports, look at the two big teams here. Look at Alabama and Auburn and what that could mean.
I think there's no way it happens nationally. The way I see this playing out is, well, I guess maybe California schools that choose to apply the California law will not be able to participate in the NCAA. It's not going to be something that one state can do, and I think there's going to be a lot of reluctance, a lot of resistance to the idea that athletes could get some kind of endorsements. Once you open that floodgate, think about what – I mean, you know, we know that, blue-chip recruit from whatever school wants to come play at a really awesome school tech, and really awesome school tech. Well, we're going to get this guy. We're going to get him an endorsement. Yeah, that's it. And he's going to endorse a Jimmy's Weed Eater shop.
Right.
But it's going to be for like millions and millions of dollars. There's so many ways you can abuse the system there. I just can't see it happening this way.
If it gets to a certain point, if it affects, let's say it affects Balzon or Saban's recruiting, and I'm not saying that the football coaches in the state have influence over the legislature, but I'm saying that the football coaches in the state have influence over the legislature. and you know, if they start losing recruits and those kind of things because they're going elsewhere because they get that $1 billion weed eater endorsement, it's going to be applied pressure. And the constituents, the people that vote for these members of the legislature, want their teams to be good.
Even with that possibility, Sean, I can't see that there would be separate leagues. There would be like a California University semi-pro league. There would be the NFL, and then there would be amateur NCAA. And Saban and Malzahn would not be competing against those teams with the big money. It'd be kind of like almost like college baseball in a way, I guess, if that were to happen. Because if you got college baseball, you had the minor leagues. People can opt to go play one way or another, and then they can go to the ultimately play in the major leagues. But I can't see this being something that's going to catch on nationwide. California is not. I mean, they've tried many ways to force the issue on things with cars and emissions, but there's no way you're going to get all these college presidents to go along with what the state of California is trying to push.
Well, Jeff, you already have a few other states who are looking into this. I know Washington State, Maryland, North Carolina, South Carolina. I'm wondering how many states would sign on to this before the NCAA starts to look at changing the rules nationally. And also, with the amount of people that are now on board with athletes being paid in some form or fashion, don't you think the NCAA has to at least move in that direction in some way, or do you think they'll stand strong the way they've been for over a century now?
I think they're going to have to give up something. I don't know what that entails, but I cannot. I'm telling you, I just can't see the college presidents with all the money that these colleges are making on the backs of these athletes giving that up. I mean, do you think they're going to give it up willingly? Absolutely not. This is, and then the other thing on top of that, South Carolina is a good example. Do you think they're going to give up one of the biggest funding mechanisms for two of their state institutions? I just think it is California doing California things at this point. We're probably decades away from this, something like this taking hold nationwide. There's just no way. You know how these college presidents operate.
All right, we'll write them down on this date, and we'll watch that. Let's talk about some specifically in-state items. I don't know if you've gotten to look into this much. I'm just really starting to learn about it, and hopefully I'll get a chance to find out more from Senator Arthur Orr today. The Commission on Evaluation of Services, have you seen this, that they're going to put in to look at the general fund agencies?
Yeah, and they've been talking about doing something along these lines for a while. This is... I guess the one of the new quadrennium pushes of the session.
And so, I mean, the way I was reading it yesterday, it seems like an audit of sorts. I mean, that may not be the right word for it, but it seems like an audit to go through and see, you know, what they're spending money on and how much and on what.
Yeah, it would be, you know, it would be really great if we had a state auditor.
Oh, yeah, wait.
I don't know. I'm always a little leery of creating new bureaucracy to keep a check the current bureaucracy. doesn't that seem like a contradiction in terms? So, not that I'm totally dismissive of this, but I am a little skeptical.
Okay, I mean, and it's a fair discussion because State Auditor Jim Ziegler, like you're referencing, I mean, he seems like, I don't know how to do his job, so I'm not auditing him, but he seems like when he's not talking bridge or other things, he's found this kind of waste here and this kind of waste there, and he's pointed these things out. I don't know how much traction they get over the state of Alabama, but he has pointed them out. Is this a way of saying, here comes the cavalry to help you, or is this a way of Aaliyah and the governor saying, you're not doing your job, and we got to bring somebody else in?
Well, the way I understand it, Jim Ziegler's function is, it's like equipment and things like that. He'll go to the Department of Transportation and he'll do an audit on the number of bulldozers and the number of desks and things of that nature. So I would think maybe perhaps a separate thing, a very separate thing, where we're talking about duplication of services or things of that nature that maybe this blue ribbon panel will get to the bottom of.
All right, we'll be talking about that coming up on the midday show. Senator Arthur Orr is going to be our guest. We'll ask some of those questions. All right, Jeff, remind folks if they want to stay up with what you're writing or what you're talking about on your radio show, where do they go?
It's twitter.com/Jeff_Poor. We saw Jeff Sessions last night in Huntsville.
I saw those pictures, yeah. What and people can check out those tweets. He spoke on the president's work so far.
Yeah, I've got a lead story up on Breitbart.com right now, so it's right there front and center if y'all want to check it out.
Did you holler out, are you going to run? You running for Senate? You going
to
run?
I walked up there and talked to him a little bit, but they weren't very friendly to the other press that were there, with Kim Chandler at Associated Press and Paul Gaddis of AL.com. They tried to get some questions in, and they wouldn't allow that.
Didn't anybody get kneecapped?
It looks like as soon as everybody's waiting in line to do the grip and grin, you know,
right,
get a picture or a selfie, and as soon as it was their turn, all of a sudden it was time for Attorney General Sessions to go.
Interesting times. Jeff, as always, man, we appreciate it.
Thanks for having me on, Sean.
Be right back. More of Mobile Mornings on FM Talk 106.5.
836, FM Talk 106.5. This is Mobile Mornings. Let's head to McConnell Automotive, where we talk to Mitch McConnell. Hey, Mitch.
All right, Dalton. How are you, big guy?
Hey, I'm doing great. Today, I want to talk about SUVs. What kind of deals do you have on SUVs at the lot at McConnell Automotive?
Well, Dalton, we only got a few seconds, and I just want to point everybody to our website, man. And we're doing a grand reopening of our used car supercenter, and got so many nice, you know, late model SUVs. But we also got what I told y'all off air, almost Black Friday savings on the new SUVs we have for Buick and GMC. So if people go to our website, McConnellAutomotive.com, man, they're going to be blown away. You usually have to wait till the end of the year for this kind of stuff. But one example, Dalton, the Yukon's 12% off. That's $9,600 off a Yukon. And then you look at our Acadia's 16% off. One of my favorite vehicles we sell is the Buick Encore, and it's 20% off. So everything that's out there for Buick and GMC, and Dalton, we've got those late model pre-owned certified and some demos driven by family members, employees, and coaches. Literally every kind of deal on an SUV, the best deals of the year right now. And so I'm excited about it.
Those are like Black Friday deals in October.
Yeah, it doesn't feel like October, does it?
No, too hot out there.
These are, speaking of hot, these are really hot deals, and we got the best selection anywhere around, but people need to kind of move fast so that they get the color they want, and we always give the best trade-in values and the lowest payments too, buddy, so we hope people shop us.
All right, thanks, Mitch.
Y'all have a great day, Dalton.
That's Mitch McConnell. Go see him at McConnell Automotive. You'll find him on Dolphin Street just east of I-65.
All right, day 38. Phone number 343-0106, 343-0106. By the way, too, make sure you get that number written down correctly or typed into your contacts. I'm not going to say who, but a local official, somebody whose name you would know. Mm-hmm. I was talking with the other day. He's probably listening now and said, don't say, I'm not gonna. And he said, you know, when I texted the other day about such and such, and I was trying to be polite, I said, I don't remember it, but I'll have to go back and look. He had the text line one number off.
Oh, man.
So he shows me his phone, and there's all these texts he's been sending. I'm like, I'm sorry I didn't respond. I didn't get them. So it's, make sure you have it. So it's 343-0106, 343-0106. I felt badly because I looked at it, and I mean, it was page after page after page of text. I said, this person must think I'm a robo jerk that I've never, I don't respond to, I try to respond to most texts, but not every text, because sometimes I mean, well, we get hundreds during a show, and I'm, you know, then something happens right after the show and I can't respond. But we try, you and I both try to respond to most texts if we can, if it needs a response. Mm-hmm. And this person had gone years texting us with no response, and I was like, I'm sorry, it wasn't coming. I don't know who was getting that text.
Yeah. But can you imagine the number right next to us? Either side, what kind of text they get, they're probably like, what in the world? What is going on?
Like, we keep getting these text about President Trump to my phone. I don't know what's going on. All right. Speaking of the text line, looking at this text from Ben, as we talked with Jeff a little bit about what happened in California and this law that California is going to move with, that is going to be, and I agree with Dalton, I think it's a motivator. I think the three-year window is a motivator to give time for other, you know, other states to come along, other schools to come along in this. Mm-hmm. Ben says, what this will come down to is a good to great athlete is going to choose to go to a school where they can get paid for their likeness or where they can participate in NCAA-sanctioned games. I bet most choose to get paid, just like football players that choose to sit out of their bowl games so as not to hurt their draft stock on or any payday.
You know, it's interesting because a lot of the argument is the same argument, and I'm not saying it's a bad argument, but that players already get tuition, room, and board. Shouldn't that be enough that they're getting a free ride to college? And the way I think this will work out is you'll have a lot of, you know, seniors leaving high school that will get paid to go to a school of some sort or the other, and they won't be paid by the school directly, but you'll have, you know, Al's truck stop or something like that, paying them money to come there. But this is still a free market system. If the player ends up not being any good or ends up getting in a lot of trouble while they're there in college or a poor representative of that business, then they'll get dropped. They won't be sponsored by them any longer. So what you'll see are the best of the best, and I'm saying maybe the top 200 players in the nation will get these sponsorships, or players who have great stories. You know, there are a lot of players that don't have what it takes to play in the NFL, but they're really good people, and they kind of take on a huge role in the community, and they're loved by fans of that school. Those players will end up getting paid, and the players that are going there that are good enough to be on the team but maybe not good enough to play at the next level, they'll still be getting those free ride scholarships.
Right.
I think it'll maybe create a little bit more parity, not a whole lot. I don't think it'll completely even the field to where you're seeing Troy and South Alabama compete annually.
It's not possible.
With Alabama and Auburn. But you will see better players go to some of these schools where they'll get paid. And just the outright argument that these players shouldn't get paid at all, other than the room, tuition, and board, I don't really understand how you can say that and also be a free market.
Mm-hmm. That's what leads me to this, and that's why people say, "Well, the purity of the sports." I said, my problem is I'm more into the now, and it's not a perfect free market. We don't have a completely free market.
No.
So there are adjustments that are put in, and there are encumbrances that people accept. Is this one, or is this one that it's time to change?
And I know the NCAA, going back to Ben's text, that they said they won't recognize schools in the state of California if they pass that law and follow through with it. But if more and more states. Just imagine if all of the schools in states, all the states that have schools in the SEC, if they all passed something like this, which I think that would probably be the last conference to turn over the free pay-to-play law. But imagine if all the schools, the NCAA doesn't want to end. They don't want to just, you know, fade away to where it becomes a semi-pro league. They're going to do something to stay involved, and that means they'll change their rules. And so I don't see the NCAA being abolished from this, and I don't see the great schools out there becoming a whole lot worse because of it. And I don't see schools and coaches being paid less than what they already are, if that's what people are worried about, because the people will still flock to the games and will still pay for the merchandise from, you know. So I don't see a whole lot of changes in the way coaches or the schools get paid. I just think it'll be good for some of these players who come from nothing to get paid for the work they're putting in at the school in the athletic program.
Good stuff here. Let's go to the phones at 343-0106, 343-0106. And Chris is in Orange Beach. Hey, Chris.
Good morning, guys. What's happening?
Man, it's college players getting some folding money.
Well, it's going to happen. It's been coming. It's been in the buzz for a long time. Gavin Newsom just wants to put his name in the spotlight because he's looking at a presidential bid, but I don't want to talk about him. I think this is probably the beginning of the end, Dalton, for the NCAA. This, the only thing they have teeth on are violations involving players getting paid, but at the same time, there's a thing that nobody's talking about. Added on to this law, there is a part of the law that says if NCAA makes your player ineligible, you can't kick him off the team. That seems problematic to me. You could abuse it other ways. If the NCAA deems a player ineligible for something not related to this at all, Newsom's passed a law that says a California school can't kick him off the team. But the second thing is, what is this going to do to the transfer portal?
Right.
Let's say that Coca-Cola puts a big ad campaign on a college player, and they got all these pictures out there with him in his Oregon uniform, and he decides to transfer because he's not going to play. They got to redo all of that media.
These kids will learn something about. Also, I said yesterday, another part of it, maybe it might keep some kid, and I still call them kids in college, keep some kid from going and doing something that might get him in trouble, because not only does he risk the team, but he risks that money. Because if it's Ed's Weed Eater Shop and you go out and do something foolish, they're going to drop their advertising.
Sean.
Yes.
That's a little optimistic. 19-year-olds make stupid decisions regardless of the consequences.
That's true. But there were always, and I appreciate the call, but there was always some smarter ones than us.
And I do think they probably need to square away some of the rules regarding the transfer process if this does take over, if nationally players are allowed to sign these endorsement deals. Because like he said, if you have a second or third string quarterback, maybe like Jalen Hurts, they've been sat for a better quarterback in Tua Tagovailoa. Well, if Oklahoma offers Jalen Hurts $400,000, some company out there to transfer to Oklahoma, what keeps him, if he's being paid less at Alabama, what keeps him from jumping over to Oklahoma? There are some rules that would need to be changed. But as far as being the end of the NCAA, I mean, the NFL, they hire pro players, and they're still endorsed, and they've got, you know, endorsements outside of the league, and the NFL still holds rules over them. I don't see the NCAA going away, even if this happens.
All right, and also I'll get to some of these texts and calls when we get back. James, solid text. He said, didn't SMU already try this? At 850 FM Talk 106.5 Mobile Mornings. Sean, Dalton, Dr. Bill, that guy Kane, Kelly with headlines, and you at 343-0106. Make sure you got the number in correctly. Person. I've been sending you texts for 10 years, and 343-0106. We'll get some of these texts in just a second. I want to go first to the phones, and Ward is in Mobile. Hey, Ward.
Hi, how are y'all doing?
Doing good, man. What's your take on this?
Well, I got a couple of comments that I'd like to get y'all's response on. One, if these guys are going to be getting paid, you do know they get a monthly stipend every month that's pretty hefty besides their room and board and food and medical and their tuition taken care of. you guys are aware of that, don't you?
The stipend, is it, when you say healthy, how much are we looking at, like somebody in the SEC?
I mean, I've heard it's all over the place. I mean, I can't put my finger on it. I'd like you guys to research it a little bit.
Okay, yeah, I don't know the number, so I'll have to plead ignorance.
I've heard sometimes $1,200 a month that's legally given to these players through their scholarship to the NCAA. So it takes some place if there's summertime job problems where the guy used to go work for 2 months and make $8,000.
Yeah.
You know, but never did anything. Number two, if these guys are going to be getting paid this kind of money that you guys are talking about for whatever jerseys and all this kind of stuff, what about the thing we never talked about, drug tests? I mean, if you fail your drug test at your job, you're fired.
Mm-hmm.
These are adults. These are 19-year-old men. And I think, you know, now it's the level of THC or it's the level of toxicity. And you'd be shocked, because that's one thing Nick Saban or any of these coaches, not just Nick Saban, any coach, and if I was coach, I wouldn't talk about it either, is these drug tests that they fail. What should be the penalty for that? Well, you're getting paid.
Yeah, and if you...
Number three, I'll hang up and listen. I'm just talking, and I just want to get y'all's response. So number three, I'm a parent who pays, and my son's mom pays, too, for all kids to go to these universities. It's expensive. If he doesn't make it after the third year, we owe the student loan. We owe the money. If these guys don't make it, they don't owe anything. So just remember that.
Mm-hmm.
When they leave, if they leave early or they don't like it, they don't owe anything. But we paid for that. That's just my opinion. We buy the tickets. We pay for this. We do this. But don't forget about us out here who's flipping the bill for this thing. I'd like for you to address the drug test issues, the stipend money.
Okay, we'll let that.
I just want to talk about it, and I don't want to argue about it. I'm just stating an opinion. I'd like to hear y'all's thoughts.
Okay.
I'll hang up and listen. And thank you for
good deal,
my
Ward.
Call.
Appreciate the call.
Yeah, and I love good back and forth on topics like this because I don't think it's clear cut. I think you can see things both ways, just like a bunch of different other things that make the news. As far as the drug testing and athletes getting paid in general, if you think that that's not already happening to the best athletes in whatever sport, football or basketball, just think back to when Urban Meyer was at Florida. There's been so many stories that have come out during the Aaron Hernandez days and where players were failing drug tests nearly constantly, and a lot of times they were being swept under the rug by the coaches because they wanted to keep them involved. Then you have this whole basketball, all these trials that they've had here recently with players getting paid under the table. There's a reason that Zion Williamson chose to go to Duke University. And it came up during a trial that involved Arizona that the coach was asked, or he was talking on a recorded phone call about what it would take to get Zion Williamson to go to Arizona. Now, do you think that he did not go to Arizona and instead went to Duke just because of the university and because he would have Duke next to his name? No, somebody was getting paid, and it's been happening in college sports for a long time. They're getting paid under the table, past that monthly stipend, which that was a good point brought up by him. I looked up a article from KansasCity.com from the news out there, and they do get paid over the course of their entire career there in college. Full scholarship athletes get anywhere from $2,000 to $5,000 over the course of their time there in college, which that's, you know, it's so decent that's not, money, but that's
over 4 years. It could be over 4 years.
Right, and is that relative to their worth? How much money has Tua Tagovailoa brought in to University of Alabama?
And that's blanket across the board, right? They get the same stipend. The free market guy in me wants, you know, the person that brings more to the game, if they want to, if they choose to, they can be a saint and not do any endorsement. But if they want to get money for it, and that the market will bear it.
Mm-hmm.
And
he mentioned, you know, normal kids that go to college, just like I went to college, or Sean, we weren't on full scholarship for athletic scholarship anyway.
No.
And, you know, there's one thing to be said about how ridiculous college costs are already, but the players that will be getting endorsement money and that will be getting paid are going to eventually go to the NFL. Now, whether they flame out in the NFL or not, they might get paid their freshman year because they were such a good high school standout, but if they don't perform at college, they're not going to continue to get paid. If they're not a good enough athlete, if they have some character issues that makes a company not want to pay them anymore, then by the time that they start to really go downhill, they're not going to get paid anymore. So the athletes that are there that aren't good enough to play in the NFL, aren't good enough to earn endorsement money, but are on full scholarship, you know, they'll continue to have that scholarship and be able to bank on that college education. But the players that are so good that they get people to buy tickets to come to the games or get people to buy their jerseys, you can't tell me that they don't deserve some sort of a cut of the action when you see how much money these colleges are making off their backs.
From the text line here, Anderson says, maybe put the money that is made from their likeness into an escrow, into escrow until they're eligible for the NFL draft. I would argue also, Anderson, if we did something like that, or not the draft. In other words, because they're like Dalton said, there'll be players who can be college standouts, but they're just not cut out for the pros. It's a nice little nest egg for them, to if the escrowing of the money made the deal more palatable out there, I would say then maybe you put that in. Maybe that's one of the parts of the negotiation. Dan said, here's the difference between athletes and regular students. If a regular student is at the University of Alabama on an academic scholarship, they still get to go get a part-time job after school and earn some money. Those athletes go to school just like the academic person does, but they spend hours and hours for practice. My thought has always been pay those players at least minimum wage for every hour they spend away from the classroom, on the practice field, or in watching film or studying playbooks. That is their part-time job.
I also think that these colleges need to start teaching some money management.
Well, you know, I'm all on board on that. I mean, when they started that with the Senior Bowl,
mm-hmm.
and taking those seniors and putting them through the financial court, this is the flip side of the free market. I want the NFL, but it is still the free market. NFL can make any rule it wants. I think if you are a new draftee in the NFL, the first year you have a financial chaperone.
Mm.
That walks you through your financial decisions, still your money, but they walk you through so you make better choices with it. All right, Bob says the bear is spinning in his grave. We'll talk about this some more. Coming up on Midday Mobile, 3 hours away, Mike Gallagher Show on the way next. We're online, FMTalk1065.com.